Hello, Planeswalkers. Welcome to the Lotus Archives, the heart of arcane knowledge and the realm of Magic the Gathering. Guided by the sages at KLVB Studios, embark on a journey through ancient scrolls and powerful spells. From deck-building enchantments to legendary battlefield stories, we bring you the wisdom and wonder of command. Whether you're a master mage or just tapping into your powers, the mysteries of the multiverse are yours to discover. Let the magic begin.
Hello, Planeswalkers. Welcome back to our newest episode of the Lotus Archives. As always, I am Kava.
What's up, everybody? Jack here.
All right, and we do sincerely apologize for the hiatus in our launches of our videos. We've had some absolute craziness the last month or so,
Yeah. But
we are looking to get back into our normal schedule here. Whether you want to say fortunately or not, but I am very happy. I did get married last weekend to my lovely now wife.
Congratulations to our buddy.
Woo!
Unfortunately, she's not a magic player yet, but I am working on that.
We'll get there.
Exactly. I think, Jack, you and your fiance have to shoot up, and yep. If we all sit down and play, I think she'll jump in here with us.
Absolutely.
But with that, other big news here, because I announced it to everybody at my wedding, I am having a little girl come in September. So my free time is going even deeper into the shitter. But
it's all right.
Still going to be making time for this. Already talked with my wife. I am not giving up my podcast. I am not giving up my D&D sessions. All right. So.
Hell yeah. No, that's good stuff, man. I'm so proud and happy for you guys. You can't even imagine.
Yeah, and
beautiful ceremony. I was so happy to be there for you.
Unfortunately, my wife already nixed any Magic the Gathering related names for our daughter. I was really pushing Liliana until she realized what it was. But
you could do maybe like Chandra or something, you know, go for the little fire spitball.
Now we have a name in our head, but no one's gonna be knowing it yet.
Okay. I love surprises. I like to be surprised for it.
I really was pushing for Liliana, Lily for short. But my wife was helping me.
That would be my go-to.
Yeah, my wife was helping me sort through some of my cards, and she saw the artwork on it, and then the name. She's like, no, we're not fucking naming our daughter that. I got away with the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's...
Count your blessings where you got them.
Exactly. Yep. But...
All right.
Enough of the pre-episode formalities here. This week, we have something that everyone seems to think they understand, but in all reality, most of us have no fucking clue. We are talking about priority. Yeah, mm-hmm. Priority. Jack, what the hell is actually priority?
So, I've had to actually do some extensive research into this that we've both done to try and wrap our heads around this. Priority is simply denoted as the opportunity to add a spell on top of another spell or ability being activated onto what is called the stack. As most of us are probably, the stack is a little bit more understood and well aware of for those of us that, we play on a regular basis and you see spells being activated and abilities being activated on regular occasions. We all pretty much, I think, have a general understanding of how the stack works, right? First in, last out.
Yep.
That kind of stuff like that.
We'll have another episode that we'll dive deep into the stack because there are some intricacies to it.
Right. So priority is just essentially, it's that opportunity that we have to go into adding spells to that aren't mana abilities. So the biggest thing here is that mana abilities do not provide opportunities to be responded to or, Basically, like, you can't have somebody go, I want to tap this land for mana, and then your opponent can't go in response to that, right? Because we all love the, we all know the in response to you doing this, I'm going to do. That's basically how, you know, them acting with priority works in a very, we like to speedball it, I think. We like to kind of cut corners, and like we like to shortcut it for like simple things. If you're playing with your buddies, you know, me and my friend group, we kind of shortcut this a little bit. And, you know, because we've been playing for so long, and if you have your regular group, we kind of shortcut the priority system a little bit. But it's a bit more in-depth than that. So mana abilities do not use the stack. So you can't, you know, respond to them with anything else.
So when you say mana
priority
abilities,
doesn't pass,
does right? that include stuff like, I mean, my biggest response, or not response, but my main card that uses a quote-unquote mana ability... Mm-hmm. would be my old Zakama deck that I right. no longer really play that much anymore. I'm thinking about bringing it back, especially with all the
totally
new
should.
Dinosaur cards. But
absolutely.
So Zakama's first ability is 2 and a red. Zakama deals 3 damage to target creature. Would that be considered a mana
nope.
ability that can't be interacted with?
No, those are not mana. That is an activated ability. So, mana abilities, think of something like Llanowar Elf, mm-hmm. right? So, we could even have them, you know, we could even put both of those side by side here, actually, which probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
They are right below us.
Yep. Okay. So, Llanowar Elf, tap, add a green, that's a mana ability. Zakama, pay 2 and a red to do something, pay 2, was it 2 and a red to do it, 2 and a white, 2 and a green, something like that?
Yep.
Yeah. Red, so, green, those white. Are activated abilities that you have to pay a cost for. And then that ability goes on what we call the stack. So you go to active. So, yeah, say I activate, I tap my Llanowar Elf to make a green. That's a mana ability. You couldn't activate an ability of, like, say you couldn't activate Zakama's ability to, like, burn me or hit the Llanowar Elf in response to that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The mana goes, is added to the pool automatically. It's not something that uses the stack. The only things that can be, that worry about priority or that can be responded to are sorceries, instants, activated abilities, triggered abilities, and spells being cast, right, that go onto what we call the stack. So the way in which priority passes is it goes from the casting player to their, right, like a proper turn order, essentially, right? Like we always pass to the left, right? So the turn order is how priority passes between one player to the next. In which, like, say, you're, you know, to my left, I cast, you know, Torment of Hailfire, and if I say, okay, that's, you know, Torment of Hailfire on the stack. Priority would then pass to the player on the left. If they have nothing, passes to the next player. If they have nothing, passes to the next player. And then if they have a counterspell, and nothing else has been added to the stack, they can immediately go into casting their counterspell to stop the Torment of Hellfire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much the bare bones gist of it. But it can get a little more tricky as we progress through the intricacies of steps and phases.
Yeah. So with that, easiest way, based on my understanding of mana ability, things like mana dorks, that's a
yep.
mana ability.
Lands
are a mana ability. Then you yep. look at cards like, I only have it on the top of my head because I haven't pulled up because I was working on something else, but a card like Aggravated Assault, 2 and a red for an enchantment, and it reads 3 red untap all creatures you control after this phase. There's an additional combat phase followed by an additional main phase.
Yep.
That would be
That's an activated ability.
Activated ability.
Nope. That's an activated ability, yep. So anything that can produce mana is considered a mana ability. So things like your Birds of Paradise, your Llanowar Elf, your, you know, Iron Mirror, like the Mirror Cycle that can tap to make mana, your Soul Ring, your Arcane Signet,
yep.
those are mana abilities. If it requires you to tap to do something that doesn't produce mana, then you're golden. So something like, First one coming to my mind is Jolly Balloon Man.
Yep.
Right? It's one and tap, make a balloon copy token of something. That's an activated ability. Example of triggered abilities that can go on the stack that people can respond to would be something like you cast a spell and something makes you draw a card, like Emrietus, right? The Arc Wizard dude that you cast a spell, draw a card. That's a triggered ability that happens based on something else. So these are all things that, you know, will activate priority and will provide priority to your opponents to do something else, unless you decide to do a little cheeky maneuver called holding or maintaining priority.
So what is holding priority? Because I holding know priori- in D&D and in other tabletop RPGs, you could hold your action. Magic, I feel like it gets a little bit more complicated because there's a lot more shit going on than in D&D and in any of the Pathfinder games, anything like that.
Yep. So, holding priority, I saw this a lot back when I played a lot of Legacy in the, you know, in that format. We saw a lot of this with certain decks where somebody would play a spell and then before it resolved and before your opponent got priority, you would say, I hold priority, which is basically you, the casting player, maintain the ability to respond to your own spell or activate ability with another spell or activate ability before your opponent gets to respond, right? So the main one that I saw a lot in Legacy, there were a few different examples. I think the one that I saw the most was something with Lion's Eye Diamond, where you tap it, add a bunch of black mana, or you don't even add a bunch of black, you just add mana to your pool, but you have to discard your hand, right? So it's like, tap, discard your hand, sacrifice Lion's Eye Diamond, add some mana to your pool. A lot of my opponents, when they play this, they would hold priority, which, when I was first setting out, I was like, what the hell do you mean hold priority? I don't know what you're talking about. Just starting out, I don't know what that means, but okay, I didn't even know what the sack or priority was at the time, so I would just let them do their thing. I didn't know, but now I know that. So they would then cast a spell from their hand before that resolved, like they would get the chance to do something else before their hand went away, and then the other effect of that would go off. A big example that I've seen on like Reddit posts and other things is something like Ad Nauseam.
Yep.
With a card called Angel's Grace. So, let me actually pull those up real quick, because I'm a dumb little asshole and didn't think to... Ad Nauseam is a simple spell that basically lets you cycle through your entire deck. But let me pull it up here so I have the full card text. Because this is a really fun combo that I can see a lot of people playing, and you can even see this in competitive EDH, right? You'll see this in CEDH scenes as well. So, typical good example of this is Ad Nauseam is 3 and 2 black. For an instance, says reveal top card of your library, put it into your hand, you lose life equal to its mana value. Repeat this process as much as you want.
Yep.
So, Ad Nauseam is one of the greatest cards to use to just fill your hand full of your deck. It basically just pick your library up, put it in your hand. The problem with that, though, is that, of course, as it says, you'll lose life equal to their mana values. So you would just kill yourself, right? Well, you cast Ad Nauseam. You say, I hold priority. Before the Ad Nauseam resolves, you play something called Angel's Grace, which has split second. And it says, you can't lose the game this turn, and your opponents can't win the game this turn. And until the end of the turn, damage that you would that would reduce your life total to less than one brings it to one instead. Now, Ad Nauseam isn't damage dealt, it's loss of life, but the fact that Angel's Grace just says you can't lose the game is enough to be like, okay, I lost a crap ton of life, but I still can't lose this turn. So,
but with that, you would still need another combo piece with that.
And right, which you would...
The combo piece that I'm thinking of, the one that I've seen played against me, and it fucking pissed me off, was a card called Sickening Dreams. That is a one and a black for a sorcery, and it reads, as an additional cost to play Sickening Dreams, Discard X cards from your hand. Sickening Dreams deals X damage to each creature and each player. You win the game.
Yep, so what you would do is, in response to that, you would probably cast these other two spells.
Yep.
Right? So you would put Sickening Dreams onto the stack, and you would play Ad Nauseam, followed by Angel's Grace. So what this really lets you do is, and I want to clear up some confusion with this one at first too, Angel's Grace has Split Second, right? So what this, it protects the Angel's Grace from being responded to. It does not protect the rest of the stack. Holding priority only allows you to basically set up what you want to resolve as it resolves in the stack. It doesn't protect them from being countered. Because as each spell resolves, it then presents itself to be responded to while it's being, while it's resolving on the stack, right? So it's, you know, like we said, last one in, first one out. So because you would do, say, Sickening Dreams, Ad Nauseam, and then Angel's Grace, the Angel's Grace is going to go off first, and because it has Split Second, nobody else can respond to it, right? And then Ad Nauseam tries to go off. Priority is passed to each other player as, you know, the Ad Nauseam goes onto the stack. So that gives them the opportunity to then counter that spell or to interact in some way. And then once that's countered and done resolving, then the Sickening Dreams would try to go off.
Yep.
Which somebody could then try to respond to as well. And this is where things can get really complicated. You know, we haven't even gotten into the other, you know, crazy wonkiness of when priority comes up outside of the stack. Because priority does exist outside of spells being cast as well. Which we can get into in a hot second. But, so that's basically how you would interact with those. So, it used to be apparently back in the day, and I saw a Reddit post about this, so I don't know how valid it is. But I'd heard stories from other players that back in the day, way before, you know, the stack was a thing, a split second card would prevent interaction with other stuff. But again, I'm not sure how valid that is, so maybe don't quote me on it. It's just stuff I saw. I'm not sure if it is truly valid, but I know in today's world, in today's game, it doesn't protect the rest of your spells. It just means I have to wait for that spell to do its thing, and then they can interact with whatever else is happening. So.
Yeah. Priority is fun, guys.
We're learning you a thing here today.
Like we were saying earlier, Jack and I were talking about this before we got onto this and started recording. But priority is one of those things where everyone thinks they fully understand it, but in reality, most of us are just grazing the surface of our understanding on it. And I remember
the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
It's a big iceberg too. Like this is a here, like boom, and then wah.
I first literally pulled it up because I wanted to do my research to make sure I didn't look like a fucking idiot. And I know Jack did the same thing.
I had to, because there was some stuff I got wrong.
Yeah.
All the years I've been playing, there was, like, even in my current play group, just a few weeks ago we were playing, and there was an interaction that I got wrong, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I thought it was this. And they're like, no, buddy, it's this. I'm like, oh, shit. I fucked up.
And I was telling Jack, I'm like, you know, I thought I had a good grasp on it, just like I have a good grasp on the stack, and just like I have a good grasp on the general mechanics of Magic.
Yeah. But they go hand in hand. So
I literally started reading an article, and the first words out of my mouth were, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Been playing Magic for over 10 years now, and
yeah,
there's still interactions that I'm like, how the fuck does that even work?
It's crazy, because like, you won't know these interactions, really, until they come up in-game.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many random things that can... That's one of the things I love most about this game. Is that you'll find random stuff that pops up in your playgroup just out of nowhere and be like, wait, is that how that works? I've been playing for nearly 20 years. How the hell do I not know that that's a thing, right?
And I remember before EDH Rec became like really big and popular for deck builders, I remember playing Kitchen Table Magic more so kitchen table. And even when I started going to some LGSs with you, Jack, I remember accidentally putting in infinite combos in my deck, not even realizing, oh, those two cards actually work really well together. And this was back when I was still learning deck building. And I remember just looking at it, I'm like, wait a minute, that fucking does that? Oh, shit, that's fucking awesome. And yeah. Then getting kicked out of the table because I'm running a bunch of infinite combos.
But, well, listen, yeah, running combos can definitely get you booted pretty quickly.
But all right, what is our next section
so
about
the
priority?
Other, yep, so the other way priority can pop up in your game, right? So basically say that priority first and foremost comes into effect after somebody has cast a spell, and it goes around the table giving everybody the opportunity to cast spells. It also arises as steps and phases end and begin. So what this essentially means is that, so we know we have our untap, upkeep, draw, right? There is an opportunity, and for those of us that play online, like on Arena or MTGO, you'll see that there are opportunities to stop and pause in certain areas, certain steps and phases to interact. That's what they're for, right? So being able to pause at certain points on Arena will let you be like, okay, stop. At the beginning of your combat, I want to do X, Y, and Z. Or at the beginning of your end phase, I'm going to do this. Or beginning of your upkeep, I want to do, you know, something. So as steps and phases go throughout, priority is passed around. Now, this can be a little complicated, when we have at the beginning of combat triggers, right? So, it could say, move to combat, something can go on the stack. But as it does, your opponent can get the chance to have some form of interaction. Let me see if I can pull something up as a solid example here. This was so long ago that I don't quite remember a instance of this happening. Let's see. Right, so I'm trying to find a thing that's an example of this. Sorry, bear with me. I know this is kind of annoying. We don't like the dead air. Alright, so okay, here we go. So like Admiral Beckett or Admiral Brass, the Unsinkable, right? Has when she enters, mill four cards. But at the beginning of combat on your turn, you can return a pirate from your graveyard to the battlefield with a finale counter, and it gets a bunch of effects, right?
Yep.
So the way in which these effects work, and this is when I've seen things rise up, I can't remember for the life of me what the actual game was where I got confused on something like this happening, where my good buddy Brandon went to go do something as I moved to my combat to try to declare an attack, and he kind of like stopped the whole thing, was like, okay, well, I'm going to kill your thing here before you go to declare attacks. And I'd already attempted to turn him sideways and start trying to attack, and I had to correct myself and be like, wait, no, I'm wrong. I'm in the wrong here. I had to go and be like, I screwed up. I need to actually go back and relearn myself a thing here, that yes, when I go to combat, that provides an opportunity to do things to your opponents. And when these combat triggers go on the stack, they go on the stack and they'll resolve unless, somebody has a way to stop the ability or whatever. But if you have something that says on attack, it does something, well, your opponents will have a chance to do something in response before you even go to attack with that creature. So that's a big thing to be aware of with that is that you may have some cool attack triggers that you might be able to try to get off, but be aware that your opponents will have a chance to interact with those creatures as you move to combat itself. So that's something to always be aware of there, is that they can, you know, they can pull some shenanigans on you with that, especially if you're in a group like mine that loves to play interaction. We have so much interaction in my play group. It's borderline obnoxious sometimes, but it's useful because we all play a bunch of crazy shit, so we need to play the interaction that we do. Yeah, otherwise, we'd all be insane.
Yeah, and I feel as you progress in your Magic career, playing-wise, you're going to start playing with better players. And when you
play, well, you'll get better, too, as you go. Exactly. Yeah.
And as you play with the better players, you're going to start getting better. I know as soon as I started playing more with Jack and talking more with Jack, I instantly became a better player because he was a better player than I was at the time. But
I don't know about all that. I'm still learning stuff.
we all are.
Yeah, it's a learning process all the way through.
But compared to the other guys in my playgroup that I was playing with at the time, you came in and you were the best one. But you also had the most experience with Legacy and
true,
all that.
Yeah.
Now, we look at the playgroup that we started with, or I started with, and I love them all dearly, but I can't play majority of my good decks there because they just cannot beat me. And that's even with Bracket 3, and we saw this at my bachelor party.
Right.
Granted, most of us were all very drunk.
that was a whole debacle.
But, like, one of my oldest and best friends, we're sitting there at the bachelor party talking about brackets. And he's looking at us like, what the hell?
Oh, he had no idea.
Granted, he hasn't stayed up on all of the MTG happenings. Nah. He looks at spoilers and shit like that, but he doesn't look at the rules stuff. And he never really has. And we sent him our video that we made a few months back about the first brackets.
Yep.
And he looked at it. He's like, oh, shit, this makes it a lot easier.
Well, it does, yeah.
But, all right, so enough with the tangent.
Yeah.
Priority, there is one, priority, priority.
Right? You got to get your priorities straight because, you know, getting the priorities right is kind of a key thing. I know we talked about targeting probably too, like knowing your threats, evaluating your threats. That ties into knowing when to initiate, you know, a response to the threats and to the targets. Right, understanding how priority works and when those opportunities arise can definitely and seriously help you in knowing when and where to actually affect those. As you know, it can be kind of complicated when you try to, like, you're looking at your opponent's board and you see they have a lot of powerful stuff, and you got to try to figure out, okay, well, if they do this, like if they do X, Y, and Z in a certain order, it could affect me in this way, or it could affect me in some other way. And it's like, well, when do you interact with them? And that's when you really got to think about, you know, when do you get the opportunities to do such a thing? Mm-hmm. Which is where the strategic know-how can really come into play. And 9 times out of 10, it is typically better to, you know, remove a threat before it even gets the chance to do its thing. Sometimes. Because, so there was a scenario, so I put this out to our main play group here to get a scenario from them of when you actually wouldn't want to do something before an attacking creature gets its ability off.
Mm-hmm.
So the scenario that our good buddy David here sent to me was player 1 attacks player 2 with a Grave Titan. In response, player 2 casts Sudden Spoiling, so that they can block the Grave Titan with a bear. But then player 1 also has a flawless maneuver that they would try to cast to save their Grave Titan and their other stuff. So my biggest first, you know, thing with this was, okay, well, why wouldn't you... The way that he worded it confused me at first in the sense that why wouldn't you just play this when they go to combat, so they just wouldn't make their tokens. right? Like, if you just played sudden spoiling beforehand, it has split second, so they can't respond to it right away. And it would just make the Grave Titan lose his abilities. They couldn't make their zombies. So why do that? His reasoning was, well, he wants to block the Grave Titan. That would be a 0-2 with a 2-2 bear to kill it. So the whole point was to essentially kill the Grave Titan with just a bear, which 100% made sense to me. So, and his main questions he, provided were, do the zombies get made? And if they do, are they 2-2s or 0-2s? And would the flawless maneuver save that Grave Titan? So this was a little bit of a tricky one that I actually ended up getting wrong when I first looked at it, as my first thought was essentially that zombies do get made, but they become 2-2s. However, that's not correct. They are made, but they are still 2-2s, as the spell resolved before Grave Titan's effect resolved. So here's how this actually ends up working, right? Because I know it sounds confusing as all hell, right? So the way that this ends up happening, right? Grave Titan attacks. Its ability to make 2-2-2s goes on the stack, right? So that's here. That's player one. Player two casts sudden spoiling, right? Which, as we know, has split second and basically makes your opponent's creatures 0-2s with no abilities, right? That resolves, right? Because it has split second, can't be interacted with. That happens. The Grave Titan ability is still on the stack, though. So even though the sudden spoiling removes its ability, it didn't remove it before it went on the stack. So the ability is still there and it still resolves. So the 2-2-2s still get made. However, they're not 0-2s.
Yeah, it's fucking confusing.
But the main thing still happens is that now Grave Titan is still just a 0-2. It has no effect. So it loses its death touch, right? So that's kind of the other big thing, is that now it doesn't have death touch, which means that player two can block it with the bear and basically kill it. But unless the flawless maneuver is cast afterwards, because that can save the. That will save them, right? Because as flawless maneuver, it's a two and a white. Instant, if you control your commander, cast it without paying its mana cost, and it can give your creatures indestructible. So, assuming player one has their commander in play, which, if this is a black-white deck, we can just say for shits and giggles, it's the Taste of Karlov, right? So, they have Taste on the board, they can cast a flawless maneuver after the. It's so like the way that it would work is that the sudden spoiling happens, goes away. Now Grave Titan's ability is on the stack, ready to go off. In response to that, player one, if no other players have any other priority or none of the players have anything to cast, it go back to player one. They can then cast Flawless Maneuver to give the Grave Titan indestructible to protect it from being hit by the bear. Yeah.
It
Learning is fun.
is, yeah. It's
So.
certainly something. It's one of those things where it's fucking confusing as all hell.
But
But
once you get it, you get it,
exactly.
right?
I mean, I'm sure all of us started someplace with, oh shit, man, that was fucking confusing as hell. I don't think I'll ever be able to understand that. I was, when I first started learning how to play stacks, that's how I thought. Like, real stacks, not just, oh, I'm gonna throw a Winter Orb in there for shits and giggles.
No, you put
But,
other stuff in there. You put the Ensnaring Bridge, you put the Thalia,
exactly.
you put the Grand Arbiter.
Exactly. No different than me, like, right now, I've never truly played a full-on Spellslinger deck.
I love those. They're my
Trying
favorite.
to build one right now by myself I'm fucking lost. Because I'm used to building creature-heavy decks, stacks decks, life gain-style decks. When I'm trying to build a deck that has no creatures in it...
Well, they have very low creatures. A lot of the creatures in heavy sorcery instant decks, like Stella Lee and like Gandalf or whatever, or like Mizzix, the creatures in there, you run like maybe 12 to probably 15 creatures at best, if even that. Definitely not more than 20. I couldn't see any more than maybe 15 creatures in a spell. I typically don't run that many. But those are decks that heavily... Because you're casting so many instants and so many sorceries, depending on your dynamic of the two, your understanding of priority in the stack is going to be way more important than that of other typical creature-based players or like your Timmy player or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
As you're going to be casting sorcery after sorcery, and you're going to throw instants into there, which can be, you know, played in different ways. And if you toss something that can give your guys flash, well, forget about it. Now you just play your lance and pass, and the world is open to you as far as what you can play and when you can interact with stuff.
Yeah. Like, I am having a lot of fun learning it. I mean, you know, majority of my decks, I don't want to say they're all aggro focused because they're not.
Right.
But I always enjoyed playing creature heavy decks. I want to win by combat damage, by commander damage.
Yep.
To me, that's how I have the most fun. Hence, my favorite deck is fucking Mirum. I want to fucking blast your ass.
With a bunch of dragons.
With a bunch of dragons.
Absolutely.
But trying to go for a Spellslinger style deck, to me, it's brand freaking new.
Yeah, you're coming into my neck of the woods there, brother.
Exactly. And I don't play much blue besides in Dimir. So trying to learn the intricacies of blue and make a solid deck, it's been challenging, but it's been a lot of fun. I mean, my main color has always been green, and I play a little bit of black.
Yep.
With the exception of Esper. Esper is my favorite three-color combo. But
there you go.
It's the only one I play that doesn't have any green in it. But priority...
Yeah, so things like that, they...
Yeah.
It's an important thing to understand. It can cause some salt to arise. I know. I mean, my headspace wasn't in the best spot for that game when it occurred, but it's always important to try to understand when things can be targeted, how they can be targeted, and when bad ability arises so that you know whether or not you can actually interact with something as it occurs, and that you know that, okay, yes, my opponent 100% was able to interact with this at that time, and it just, you know, it is what it is. It happened. Let's, you know, see if I can go to my plan B and interact in some other way or try to do something else, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, it's always good to try to understand that, yes, this is how the stack works. Yes, this is how these work. And if you don't understand anything, just always, you know, Google is your best friend with it. Look for articles. Look for the wiki docs and stuff like that. Check out rulings.
Stay away from Reddit.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't always go to Reddit. If you can, I know there are some of the things that pop up first, which is kind of annoying, but always fact check those with like official WotC articles if you can.
Like, I am very much involved in the Reddit scene. Not for Magic. Magic is the only thing I really won't go to Reddit for. But I go to Reddit a lot for tabletop RPGing and stuff like that. And I talk with people on there. Yep. But Magic, I have seen so many people give the wrong information.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the time. It's just
to fuck with people.
Yep. Just to spy it, or just to troll, or just to be like, haha, I made you give the wrong ruling. Now you suck, and I look like an idiot.
Exactly.
And it can be obnoxious. Yeah. So.
But.
Always try to go to your more reputable sources here.
I mean, Christ, if you're playing at an LGS, ask one of the workers.
Talk to the guys. Yeah.
Chances are they're going to understand it. Yeah, if you're playing in a tournament or anything that has a judge, call the judge over. I guarantee they would rather you ask than just assume and get it wrong and then get all butthurt that you got it wrong.
Absolutely.
I mean, the amount of times that I've asked Jack, hey, how does this actually work?
And the amount of times I've had to actually research that myself and be like, wait, do I know how this works? Yeah. Like, I know I've been playing a long time, but even I, you know, even the people that play a long time still get things wrong. But the other thing is, like, always respect the judge, too. Like, respect the judge's ruling. I guarantee they probably know more than most. I've seen a few different instances of, like, people calling a judge's ruling and, like, saying, oh, I know more than you. Well, then why do you call the judge that? Like, they are there for a reason, so...
Oh, dude.
Respect their rulings and, you know, understand that they're there for a reason.
Have you ever actually looked at their testing requirements to become a judge?
I have not. I thought about it. Dude. I would love to do it myself, but...
So, I was supposed to... So, there's... WotC has two different levels of judges. They got the magic judges, and they got D&D judges. So, prior to COVID... I was in the process of starting to be certified for as a judge for D&D.
Okay.
Which, sitting, most people play D&D, kitchen table, they don't play Adventure League.
Right.
Why would you need a judge for D&D? No. If you've...
Typically for that, no.
Adventure League isn't as big as it used to be pre-COVID.
Right.
But pre-COVID, Adventure League was freaking huge. And... people that went to play Adventure League, they didn't care about the DM because it was all pre-published adventures. They just wanted to get their characters stronger.
Yep.
Well, they needed to bring in judges for rulings and all that. Well, the LGS that I DM'd a lot at, and I played a lot of Magic there, they asked me if I wanted to go attempt to become a judge because at the time, I had every weekend off. And I was there every Sunday anyway. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I'll do it. And this was right in February. And COVID happened right in March. Well,
yeah,
I got all the books. They sent me all the books to start studying it and all that. And holy shit.
It is complex. I can imagine. It's a lot.
And
oh, yeah. You gotta know your shit.
This was just for D&D. And I know a lot about D&D. Especially
you know a lot more than I do.
And... I'm sitting there reading this book. I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't realize that worked like that. I'm like, I've been doing it wrong for the last freaking 15 years. But Magic, they wanted to convert it into a dual judge thing. And if you got to be a dual judge, you could make more money, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
Well, I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll do that one as well. I mean, I love playing Magic. I want to learn how to do it, and I want to learn how to be a better player. Being a judge would be the best way to do it.
Yep.
Dude, I took literally two looks into that freaking handbook, and I'm like, yeah, no, I'll stick with D&D. Like, because it wasn't Commander, and I knew Commander. It was Standard and Legacy and Modern.
Yep, Standard, like the 60-card formats,
And
those can be a little... They're a little... The rulings are typically the same for the most part in terms of gameplay, but I think when it comes to like the environment and the sweatiness of it, the 60-card formats are very sweaty. Like Modern, Standard, and Legacy, like those are sweaty as fuck. People go hard in those formats, way harder than we see in our typical like bracket 3 games. Some bracket 4s probably don't, you know, couldn't go that hard.
Like
you guys, wouldn't see that.
Like you guys hate CEDH, and some of you guys hate playing it and don't want to be involved in that scene.
It's a lot. That's Legacy for you. That's Modern. That's Standard.
Modern.
That's what it is. The competitive scenes. That's exactly what that is. It's those guys go ham, man. They go hard.
And to me, I was just like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do that.
Because you have to deal with them. You have to, like, de-escalate. And you have to understand, you know, you really got to understand things like priority and things like the stack and how these things work, how interactions work, all these different crazy things, and be prepared for every event that could happen because the game is huge.
Well, and the crazy thing is, like, with Standard, because at the time, Standard was Magic's main moneymaker.
For a long time, yeah.
Every single set that released, apparently, there was a new test.
That makes sense, because they would rotate.
Yeah.
Right? It's a rotating format, so every time something new came out, and new mechanics, new abilities, new shit kept getting cranked out, you'd have to be on top of that. You'd have to read like every card, and you got to know everything that comes out.
Yep, you got to understand
it.
How they interact.
Yep, and I couldn't do it.
And no. I was sitting there when I was talking to the owner of the LGS, and I'm like, "Look, man, I can't do the Magic thing. I love playing it, but that's a lot."
I could do Legacy. I could do Legacy till the cows come home. I understand that format. I understand what goes into it. I understand what the metas look like for the most part, except for when these new sets drop and they get new meta and they get new tech and stuff. Like Legacy, back when I played it, is not Legacy today. It's vastly different. New cards come out, new tech happens.
Oh, yeah.
That's why Commander is my go-to now. I'll play Commander for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I mean, I'll play a little bit of Standard online. But
yeah, on Arena, you'll do what you can. I'll play Brawl.
Yeah,
on Arena.
I mean, I play mostly Brawl, Brawl. That is
until they get Commander in there, which fucking hell, when they need to get Commander on there.
Well, the fact that Wizards owns it now, I can see them bringing in Commander.
Yeah,
and what I want to see them do is start when there's downtime in between sets. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's drop the original Ixalan back in. Oh,
that'd
let's
be cool.
Drop Amonkhet. Oh, let's drop whatever.
That'd be good.
And start from freaking.
Just keep introducing them
and introduce all the old sets.
Yeah.
That way, the historic, legacy, vintage players on there and commander players on there, they can get all their cards from their decks that they actually have.
Seriously, that would be good.
But
yeah. So as far as priority and stack and stuff goes, that's typically the general gist of it. It sounds scary. It sounds complicated when you really, when you first look at it. But as you break it down and go, step by step, and you really just kind of break it down into the tiers that it is, and you can even break it into like the brackets too. Like the bracket system can kind of help you look at it as, okay, I cast this, like I cast A, player two casts B, player three casts C. C happens first, then B, then A, right? It goes in that reverse order, and it's like, okay, player one casts a thing, two gets an option to cast something, then three, then four, then back to one. And if nothing else goes on the stack, then player's one spell goes off without a hitch. So it's, pretty basic-ish when you, first look at it, and then as you dive deeper and you look more at that iceberg, it can become a little bit bigger, a little more daunting. But, you got your play group, ask your friends, ask your folks, talk about it, talk to your people, figure it out together as a group. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, right, it's still all about having fun, it's still all about having a good time and communicating with your play group. So if you're all confused on some kind of interaction, do your best to look into it, figure out how it works, and, do your best not to get too salty at the outcome if it doesn't play out in your favor, because there are chances where you might be in the wrong and you gotta eat some crow. I've eaten plenty of crow in my day, we've all have, where it's like I was so hell-bent on something being right and then only to be proven wrong, and I'm just like, all right, I was wrong, you're right, let's play it as is and see what happens next. And that's just what you gotta do.
Love to be being proven wrong sucks.
It can hurt sometimes, but you gotta move forward.
I'd rather someone come at me and be like, hey, look, man, I don't think you understand that completely. This is how it actually should work.
Exactly.
And as long as they back it up with facts,
I'm
fine with it. But if they just come at me...
I would hope that they would.
Yeah, if they just come at me like, no, man, you're doing it wrong. Doesn't work like that. And then it'll tell me how it's supposed to work.
Right,
I'm
explain.
Just looking at you like, fuck you.
Right, like, explain, sir. I need you to provide the explanation for your reasoning.
But
if you can explain it well enough, then I'm sure it probably works that way. I want to check the sources, and I want to be sure.
Exactly.
But from there,
Priority is fun. We've had a fun past few weeks here between my bachelor party that Jack was at, between my wedding that him and his fiance so graciously attended for us.
Such a great time, man.
But there has been a few more spoilers from the Final Fantasy set that have come out.
Oh, man, this Final Fantasy thing is...
Dude,
I wish I was a bigger Final Fantasy fan. I wish I knew more. I actually looked into... So I knew Final Fantasy VII from Kingdom Hearts.
Yep.
So And I've seen people play Final Fantasy VII, and I know Cloud, I know Sephiroth, I know Aeris and Tifa, I know those guys. That's the end of my knowledge of Final Fantasy. Like, that's it. I don't know anything else.
So, I'm not a huge Final Fantasy guy myself. I've played VII. I've played some of them. I've played Final Fantasy X, which was... I'll get hate from this, but it was my personal favorite one.
I don't know that one.
But... Wait, is it X? I'm looking like an idiot now. Nope, not XIV. Yeah, Final Fantasy X and X2. X was my first foray into Final Fantasy. Originally came out back in 01.
So that's 10, then, Final Fantasy 10.
Final Fantasy 10.
Yep.
And it's with Tidus and Yuna.
Oh, that's the one with... Okay. See, I didn't know...
Yeah, it's the one that had Blitzball in it.
Oh, that's where Blitzball's from. Okay, yep. I saw the Blitzball card, and I'm like, what the fuck is Blitzball?
So you had Yuna and Tidus and all that. It was the first one I really played. I mean, I still play it every once in a while to this day. But that's my extent of Final Fantasy. Like, I've tried playing 14, the newest one, I think it was. Yeah. I tried playing it. I couldn't get into it because I didn't like the real-time strategy aspect of it. I'm used to Final Fantasy being turn-based.
Right. Well, I played the MMO for a hot second, but something about it was just too... It was too flashy. It was too... Yeah. There was a lot going on. I didn't quite get the systems down.
Yeah.
I'm more of a WoW and Star Wars Online.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Star Wars The Old Republic player.
But some of these spoilers that have come out, I'm looking at just solely from a mechanics standpoint.
Oh, there's a lot of cool shit here.
And I have three that have really stood out to me that I'm like, shit, I am buying that single. Now, I'm not going to go out and buy a box of this set because right now it is ridiculously fucking overpriced.
Well, we got some crazy reprints, like Dark Confidant.
Oh, yeah.
Is getting reprinted, which I'm like, how... Of all the sets and things to reprint Dark Confidant, he's going to come out in a Final Fantasy set? Like, that's wild to me.
The three that I immediately was drawn to, I'll post right in the box here on the bottom. But this one came out a few days ago, and I saw that. I'm like, are you fucking shitting me? I'm getting more love. But it is the Earth Crystal.
Oh, yeah. The Crystal Cycle is wild, dude. I love the Crystal Cycle. I wish I knew more about their in-game lore, too.
Yeah, but...
Like, I'm not sure. Because I looked at the Final Fantasy VII lore, because I love Sephiroth and Cloud and all them. I think those characters are fantastic. But so what's...
So the Earth
these
crystal
crystals are wild.
Is 2 and 2 green for a legendary artifact. And it reads, green spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice.
But then it reads, if 1 or more +1/+1 counters be put on a creature you control, twice that many +1/+1 counters are put onto the creature instead.
Ridiculous.
And then
that's
it reads,
absurd.
4 and 2 green and tap. Distribute 2 +1/+1 counters among 1 or 2 target creatures you control. Yeah, that's not the best. But this is a mini doubling season.
It's not what we're looking at.
Yeah,
it's
a mini
great.
Doubling season. It obviously doesn't work for tokens, but +1/+1 counters. This is going to be great in it. The one that I was looking at, and I saw it, I'm like, shit, this could be fucking disgusting. And I'm going to butcher this guy's name. But it is... Roban, Bull of Alamigo. For 1 in a red, he is a 2/2 legendary creature, human warrior, and he has ward. Pay life equal to Roban's power. And his big thing is, whenever Roban attacks, attach up to 1 target equipment you control to target attacking creature.
Pretty good.
Well, shit. That could be a fun as hell aggro equipment commander.
They got a lot of good equipment stuff in this set. I know Cloud is a really good... Well, we got Buster Sword.
Yep.
So we got Cloud's sword, which is sweet. I was really hoping we'd get Sephiroth's sword as well. I was kind of hoping we would get like a cool thing for his sword, because I always liked... Sephiroth as a character always was perplexing to me.
Yeah.
And when I finally looked into the lore of Seven, his story is just... Bro, his story is fucked up.
Yeah.
I know people that know the lore of Sephiroth probably hate him for one particular thing he did. Because, I mean, yeah, we're going to hate him for killing the waifu. But, I mean, listen, that guy got a crazy backstory, man. Also, fuck his fight in Kingdom Hearts 2. His fight in Kingdom Hearts 2 caused young me so much anxiety. I fucking hated it.
But another commander...
I want that Buster Sword, though. That Buster Sword is hot. I want
another
that.
Commander. I can't remember if we talked about it in the past, but Vivi Ornateer.
Oh, Vivi is... Oh, Vivi. Oh, boy.
I think I might make my spell-slinging deck the stack. But for
a lot
one...
of people are, dude. I don't blame them. Vivi is...
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
For one in Izzet, so one red-blue, legendary creature wizard, 03, and it reads 0. Add X mana in any combination of blue and or red, where X is Vivi's power. Activate only during your turn and only once each turn. And then it reads, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put a +1/+1 counter on Vivi, and it deals 1 damage to each opponent. That is,
this is
fucking
just...
insane.
The party never stops. Every Storm player worth his or her salt is just... I'm going to be honest, we're gooning over Vivi right now. Like, all of us Spellslingers, we see Vivi and we're just like, thank you, WotC gods, thank you.
Like,
like,
thought...
This is just...
I thought Mono Green was getting a lot of love in the past few sets, but I'm looking at Vivi... I'm like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
Like, I first saw that, and I think I sent you a message. I'm like,
yeah.
Does this work the way I think it does?
It absolutely does.
Like, that is fucking insane.
Simple spell, simple spell. Like, you cast your cantrip, and then you activate Vivi's ability, you make a bunch of other mana. Like, I'm already in my head. I've got, like, 4 or so different combos, and, like, big plays I'm thinking of. The biggest one is Mystic's Mastery.
Oh my god.
Is you just cast a bunch of spells, play Mystic's Mastery, overload it, lets you cast them all back for free off of mana you produce from Vivi by casting all those spells the first time, cast them all again, and then you just win the game with some big blowout. Like, it's...
I mean, Christ, you could even win with commander damage.
You could. Vivi's gonna be big.
But...
Vivi gonna be a big boy.
Before we start fantasizing about Vivi too much, the last card that I saw that I'm like, holy shit, this is gonna be a staple.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Overkill.
Overkill's really funny. I saw that one the other day. I was like, really? This is what we're doing?
2 and a black.
This is happening.
For an instant, and it's only a common. So,
yeah.
People are going to be getting these cards in packs. It reads...
It's 2 and a black? I thought it was 1 and a black.
2 and a black.
Okay, that's not so... Okay.
Yeah, but it reads, target creature gets -0, -9,999 until end of turn. Well...
That sounds like overkill to me.
That's a little bit of an overkill, but...
Yeah, just a little bit.
This bypass is indestructible.
Yeah, it does.
So, all those murder and all those other cards that get rid of a creature, this is going to replace them, I would assume.
Very likely, yeah. Or be played on par with them.
Yeah, because if I'm...
Just to get that ball rolling.
The card itself is fucking crazy. Like, some of the cards that have come out in this Final Fantasy set, I know... Your player group, I've seen it in the chats. Everyone's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, they took They're going Yu-Gi-Oh! Power levels now.
Seriously. Well, we got that giant cactus thing, and it's like... I'm here for it. Like, I'm fine with it. I mean...
I'm fine with it as long as they balance the shit out of it. But knowing Watsy... Yeah. Knowing Watsy, power creep is real, folks. But yep. With that, we have talked priority. We have made fun of Watsy a little bit with their power creep. And we have talked about Final Fantasy. But next episode, I have no fucking clue what we're going to talk about next. Maybe we'll talk about stack. Maybe we'll talk about creatures. Who the hell knows at this point? But
we shall see. Stay tuned and wait for that next one. And always remember to click that like and sub if you like what you see and you like what you hear. Feel free to do that if you like. If you don't, whatever. We're not your folks. Can't tell you what to do. Do as you please.
As always, I am Kaba.
This is Jack.
And we will catch you guys all next time.